This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
What can money give us? That's a very important question for the Christian, and we're going to discuss it in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God in heaven, we know that you have given us money, and through that money we have received many blessings. We thank you for every good thing that you have bestowed upon us. But we also realize that when your will is not done, that money can become a curse. It can drive us farther and farther away from you and make us dependent upon it. Help us today as we continue our study in the book of James to understand the importance of listening to your word as you tell us how properly to use money. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O men, rise up.
As we continue our study in the book of James, we come to chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, and this deals with money. Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you. Your wealth has rotted, and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workmen who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and in self-indulgence. You have fattened yourself in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered innocent men who were not opposing you. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name, Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Friends in Christ. Money is a gift from God through which He brings us many blessings. Now, there's no question that we need money. And God has seen fit to give us this money in one way or another. What is it that it brings us? Well, it is money that makes it possible for us to purchase the necessities of life. For example, it is money that can bring us food and shelter and clothing. How wonderful it is that we can go to the store and order what we need. But how sad it is that there are millions of people around this world, many of them right within our communities and in our country, who do not even have the necessities of life for one reason or another. And that should be a burden for the church, because certainly we do need those necessities if we are going to get along. Secondly, it is money that gives us the extra things of life. For example, it can give us medical care. How important that is. It can give us education, an education for ourselves and an education for our children and our grandchildren. That takes a lot of money. It gives us recreation, and we need some of that too while we're together, and while we can go on some of these vacations and see some of the wonders of the world. That is God-pleasing. There is no place in the Bible that says that that is wrong. And if the society of the biblical days had been the same as it is today, I'm sure that there would have been many of those people who would have gone on long, long trips. But it's just that ability to set aside some time and to recreate in order that you can come back and do a better job on what you're doing and a better job for God. But here's another one. Money can bring us the biggest joy that life can offer us, and that is sharing it with others. And I'm not talking about the amount of money. When you stop and think of some of the tragedies that are found in the world, and there the general appeal goes out, will you please contribute something? I love to see those little children who are giving some of their nickels and their dimes and their quarters, or maybe even a dollar or two, for the cause of helping somebody who has been afflicted in a very, very bad way. But it is also the idea of reaching into the pockets of those who have a lot of wealth. I had a friend, who told me shortly before his death, that he had discovered his greatest joy in life during the latter years of his stay on this earth. He had become a very, very successful businessman and had accumulated all kinds of money. And so, like many who are very wealthy, they are often talked to by those who need some of that money. And a university where he lived asked him to give them a large sum of money. He was overwhelmed at the thought when it first came to him. And then he decided, well, maybe I ought to try it just once. And so he gave them several millions of dollars. He told me that when he was done doing that, he had never been as satisfied in his life. He said, I discovered what it was to give. That's one of the great blessings that God gives to us. Money can really be a blessing when God has a place in helping me use it. But money can also be a curse. And that's what we're talking about in the study of James today. But before we get to James, where did James get this from that he is telling us about money? Well, he got it from his half-brother. But more than that, he got it from that half-brother who is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ, who one day said, "It is a hard thing for the rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." Now notice he did not say that it was impossible. And there are many, many rich people in heaven. And there are many, many rich people who are going to go to heaven. This is not what our Lord is saying, but he says it's hard for them. Extremely hard. Because that money has captured first place in their lives. And it is for that money that they live. In the Sermon on the Mount, our Lord Jesus says that money has the power to enslave us. Now, we talk about alcohol as being the power to enslave us and drugs doing the same thing. But our Lord Jesus Christ says that money can do it also. When he utters these words, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And if the treasure of life is money, and my heart is attached to it, it has me. It dictates to me. It tells me what to do and what not to do. And it can make me a terrible person. We don't have to go any further than one of the disciples of our Lord Jesus, Judas, who had walked with Jesus for 3 years, who knew what a wonderful friend he was, what a savior he could be. But that was not what Judas wanted. Judas was standing with Jesus because he thought he was going to build this earthly kingdom and then Judas would really cash in on a profit. And so when he saw that wasn't going to happen, he thought, well, I better get something out of this so I don't go flat broke. And he sold his Lord for how much? You know, for 30 pieces of silver. But it was only a little bit. And he realized what money had done to him. And he came back and threw it at them and said, "I don't want it. No, would those people use it?" And it bought a burial spot for a certain type of person. That's what money can do. It can be a curse. And it doesn't stop with Judas. It can destroy us. It can cause us to do things that never should be done. Jesus reminds us of that. Paul comes back and he makes a powerful statement too when he says, "You know, the love of money is a root of all evil. Some people, eager for money, have pierced themselves with many griefs. Now, it is not saying that money is the root of all evil, but rather it is the love of money. The love of money can do it. Now, let's get away from the Bible for just a minute, and let's try to apply this to everyday living. Look at how money has pierced certain families. Brothers who haven't talked to one another, or sisters, for perhaps 25, 30 years, because of the way the family estate was settled. And they have robbed themselves of that wonderful fellowship and camaraderie that they could have had with those who, with whom they grew up. They could reminisce and they could have talked about all the joys of their early childhood. But because of money getting in the way, they have lost all of that fun. That's what money can do. Well, that's Jesus and Paul, and now let's go to James and our text for today. James is writing to the Christians. This is not to the world. You would expect the world, those who did not trust Jesus, those who had no concern for him, those who did not want him as the Lord of their lives. Why would they want to have anything to do with him? And therefore, why is money so bad? In fact, it's very good, and the more I get, the better off I am. That can be the reasoning. And I live for money, some say. But he is talking to the Christian. You see, it doesn't mean that those of us who may not use our money according to God's will are necessarily outside of the kingdom of God. We enter the kingdom of God by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and then he's got to begin to train us and teach us and empower us and strengthen us to live a life that he wants us to live. And James is one of his spokespeople who is now telling us, look, when you know Jesus as your Savior and your Lord, and that he has died for you and set you free, then listen to what I have to say to you about the use of your money. And so James says, among other things, there is a difference between prudent saving and hoarding. Certainly our Lord wants us to be responsible people, and that response should come also as far as our money is concerned. It's necessary for us to save some money. There are going to be things coming down the road that we need money for. Last week we talked about some of that. The importance of having money to help educate your children. The importance of money to give yourself the proper care as far as the physical matters of life are concerned. Those things, this is not what James is talking about. It's right and proper for you to have a nice home. It's right and proper for you to have an automobile and all the other good things of life. But notice what he says. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look. And then he begins to tell them how they hoarded the money. That's a terrible thing. We deny God what should come back to him. We deny others what we can give them. And sometimes we deny ourselves. We hoard money. I know a man who was not necessarily a multimillionaire, but he is one of those that we say he lived on Easy Street. But the one thing that he loved to do was to hoard money, not just save it. He wanted to hoard it. So he would get a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And finally he found out by denying himself, he could have that little bit more. The man died one day, and he died with his street clothes on, his working clothes. The shirt that he was wearing did not have a button on the top. It was hanging together by a safety pin. And when his son was told that, he said, "I couldn't get Dad to buy himself clothes. He wanted to take that money and put it in the bank. And put it in the bank, he did." You see, money had captured him. That wasn't prudent saving. That was hoarding. Money can grab us and turn us into very, very difficult people. The division in families and the horror stories of business dealings, how we will cheat. Now here James, talking to a rural audience, says the harvester's cries have reached the ears of the Almighty. You didn't pay them what you owed them. The wages you failed to pay the workmen who mowed your fields are crying out against you. You know, sometimes it's kind of tough to sit back and to listen to a non-Christian businessman say something to you like this. You know, I'm not a member of any church. I have been very disappointed in church people. Now, I know they can use this for an excuse. But the most difficult people that I have to deal with when it comes to dollars and cents are those who call themselves Christian. They will cheat you. They will lie to you. They will do anything they can to get the very best deal. What a testimony. And yet we know that it's true. Because money can do that to you. Money can become our God. We worship it. And we find out that it cannot help us. For as James says, the moths have eaten up your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. And their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. I tell you, friend, at the very end, it has nothing to offer us. It has given us a good life and brought us many blessings. But it is not our God, and it cannot be our security. You know, there are many who don't like this little book of James. They'd rather read the book of Psalms, and they'd rather read perhaps the Gospel of John. And those are blessed books, and they bring us into the presence of the love of God and how we need to hear about the love of God. But once we're in the kingdom, and God is anxious to make us sanctified people of His, He reminds us on this Sunday that money can bring you many blessings. It is a gift from God. But money can also curse you and throw you out of the presence of God. And only a personal relationship in Jesus Christ can help us to handle money as God would have it be used. Listen to Him. Listen to Him about your money. Amen.
If I gain the world but lost the Savior, were my life worth living for a day? Could my yearning heart find rest and comfort in the things that soon must pass away? Lost the Savior.
Pray with me. God, we thank you for the ability to work and to earn money. We thank you for the ability to invest and to receive more money. We thank you for all that money has brought us. But, O God, touch our hearts and help us to understand that that gift from you can also bring a curse. Lest we worship it, O God, turn our eyes on Jesus. For what will it profit us if we gain the whole world but lose our Savior? Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We thank our faithful listeners for your generous support. Your gifts allow us to bring the greatest news that ever was, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to listeners throughout the world. Christian Crusaders publishes a quarterly newsletter called The Crusader. This publication contains a special article written by Pastor Larson, our executive director and board president, as well as other interesting information concerning this ministry. If you would like to receive this mailing, please call our office at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also write us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 69th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.